Hi everyone, bonjour, welcome back to another episode of Kenyan Francophile. I know it's well into January. In fact, January is even over, so a very quick January we had. But happy new year, because this is the first episode of Kenyan Francophile of 2023. I'm so excited to share with you guys so much more content this year. This episode was recorded by a group of people, mostly Kenyans who live in France, particularly Paris, and this is us reacting to Emily in Paris. If you've watched that, then I hope you really enjoy this episode. If you haven't watched it, then go watch it. You might need some context from that series, and I hope you guys really enjoy listening to this episode even half as much as we did while making it. Amusez-vous bien.
Sijon.
La Colle-les-Yvelines.
Saint-Denis.
Boulogne-sur-Mer.
Clermont-Ferrand.
Lyon. Giverny.
Angers. Arles.
Périgueux. Annecy.
Savigny-sur-Orge.
Landivisiau. Paris.
Perpignan. Pour la Nouvelle.
Normandie.
Sunday was Christmas.
Sunday was it?
No, no, it was.
Yes,
it was.
Yes.
Supporting her friends.
Anyway, so quick, first things first, introduce yourself. Just say your name.
My name is Calvin with a K.
AKA Mr. Pluto.
Yeah.
Calvin with a K. Why is he called Mr. Pluto?
You'll find story for another time. Mona ne kando.
You may attend.
Barbara, you know, but you can call me Babs.
Birds.
My name is Valentine.
AKA Valentine the Dancer.
San Valentine.
My name is Bertrand. But everybody call me Justin Belair.
Justin Belair.
And
but someone calls her Candy.
It's just you.
Okay. My name is Mikaela, but my nickname is Mika.
Mika.
Or Mimi.
AKA Last Born.
AKA Last Born.
AKA Last Born.
My name is Ifra. There's no AKA. It's just Ifra. That's the end.
Mpenda Bwana, Mpenda Yesu. All the above.
She's an ally.
Ally.
Anyway, first things first. Emily in Paris, what do we feel? How would you rate it? On a scale of 1 to 10, where would you put it?
Like all three seasons or this season?
Everything. Generally. All three seasons.
I feel like in terms of like entertainment, maybe like a 8/10 could be just pure entertainment.
Yeah, it's entertaining for sure.
Yeah, in terms of like portraying how life in Paris actually is, maybe like a 4/10.
Or a 0.
Yeah. Or like a 0,
damn.
You know.
Damn.
And I think that's it.
Just with the call of like Santana. Okay, oh, Samantha. Barbara.
Babaka, okay, Babs. I feel like me feel like Emily in Paris is one of those shows that are, it's so bad till it's good. Like it's like trash TV. It's like watching a reality TV show. It's like, this is so bad, but I keep watching it. I'll watch all of it. That's how
trash.
I feel about it. No, it's not trash TV.
Yeah.
But like the way that it's controversial, it's very exaggerated, it has that's so true. Many lies. It's not true. A good picture, but like, I will still watch. I will complain, but I will watch every single season. If I watch Kitoke, I'll be the first one to watch it. I'll be the first one to complain, but I will still watch that show. So I would give. I feel like I would give it like a six, generally, but like entertainment value, maybe like an 8. But being realistic, I would give it like a 3, yeah.
I feel like it plays into the stereotype where, you know, everyone's like, oh, Paris, the city of love. It's so magical, you know. So it really plays on that stereotype. Horse, yes.
I wish we could smell TV. I don't know. I wish we could smell Paris on TV. Because I feel like Paris smells of piss and cigarettes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So if that came, we could see that and smell it on Emily in Paris, then I'd be like, okay, 10 out of 10. Very good. Yeah.
But like even like Zile shot Monaco Emily in Paris, do they look like they smell
also,
no.
I feel like they shot it all during the summer and 90% of the time Paris is very gray.
It's not like that.
It's not even blue skies, it's gray, gray, gray. Like it's always ugly almost every
That's
day.
True.
Only during the summer, like those 2 months where you have like blue skies.
Oh yeah.
So that's also a big like misconception that it's very pretty all the time.
It doesn't look like that always.
No.
You have
also,
to get it.
Yeah, and it's like so clean in the sea. That's
a big one.
My
God,
it's like,
that's
so
a big
clean.
One.
Like,
that's
and
a
there are no
one.
Rats in that show. There's rats everywhere in this city. There's rats
everywhere. And this is Manjiwa, these 2 birds, what are they called?
There's pigeons everywhere, and they're not scared of you. They'll literally fly in your face.
Yeah.
Even in a restaurant, you're eating kebab.
Sure. It's like, and there's none.
Yeah.
Except the part where, you know, they intentionally just like brought it into the office.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's the first time we saw a pigeon. And like,
yeah.
And that's the thing, like when you're looking as a foreigner, you think, oh wow, they have, you know, birds every day. They're so cute, but on ground, it's only bunnies and a fly.
And honestly, I feel like after watching the show, I wanted to live her life. I live in Paris.
Same,
like,
same.
I want to live your.
Same.
I know your life. You're living. What Paris you're living?
I literally watched her like your Paris.
Even me, I want to be part of that Paris because like it's not the same one I'm living in, huh?
Yeah.
Also, who never takes the metro? I don't care how rich you are. Everyone takes the metro at some point.
Yeah.
They've never even shown.
Never shown
a
metro.
Like even like just. A video like you know just as nothing.
That's true.
And I feel like the metro is a very huge part
it's
of the
region. It's a big part of Paris.
The life in Paris.
A very big
that whole
part.
Thing for metro bulodo.
No, but also
metro.
One thing I can tell you for sure is that when Americans do come to Paris, more often than not they don't use the metro. They use a lot of cars.
But my question is, if you're watching a show that's based in New York or everything like that, do we see those rats themselves?
Yes, they do.
Is it exclusively in Emily in Paris? It's just out of the picture.
Exactly.
Only?
If I'm being honest, because there are so many movies that are based in New York, as a consumer, my view of New York is not perfect.
I see
some dirt in New York.
Yeah, it does look
like
trash. Like
in Emily in Paris, we don't see any dirt.
It's
sparkling, clean.
It as I clearly stated from the beginning.
Yeah, but I would equate, let's say, Emily in Paris, the show, to, let's say, just not a reality show, but something you don't expect, like a reality kind of thing. Let's say Gossip Girl. Is that a fair comparison?
No, but
comparison?
You see, it's kind of fair, but in Gossip Girl, they were rich kids, and they made it known that they take limos to school.
Yeah.
They hang out at Soho Club. You know, the hash is just come as like mid-level management, marketing firm, but she lives like in the sixth around this small. Probably she's paying like rent
and
for 2.5.
And
I'm pretty sure she's not being paid like more than 5,000 euros, even less.
Did you see how fast Emily got a house?
Yeah.
Also,
she got it. Like,
but her company helped her with that, no?
Did she?
Did it?
Yeah, they sent her there. Like, they must have
Like, even when you look at where she lives, it's like a sham de bon. It's something so tiny. So, her level, you can tell from where she's living.
Because obviously, when they always film it, they film it from like
one angle.
It's like the room is kind of small. Yeah, you're right.
It's so tiny.
It's typically Parisian.
So, if she actually had like a huge salary, she wouldn't be living there.
Okay, no, but so
it's unrealistic for
a lot
like,
of people.
For everything.
Okay. Yeah.
Everything.
And she's always taking cabs.
Yeah.
She's always
in high heels.
Yeah, and always in high heels.
In Paris.
Those cobblestones.
They
are not friendly for heels.
Yeah,
they're not. You have to wear your sneakers.
But you know, guys, when most of these are guys, let's say mostly Americans, comes to Paris, they prefer to live in a little room but in a bon quartier than to live in the banlieue and have a big space and everything. So I think that it is more realistic and more representative.
Or like where she stays.
Yeah, because no, they'd rather pay 1,000 euros, 2,000 euros.
That's not even like maybe 2,000 euros.
Yeah, for just a 16-meter square.
Tiny space, yeah.
In Cesium around is more. They'd rather have Eiffel Tower in their window.
Yeah.
Living in a cube.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that part is kind of...
So it makes more about the aesthetic, yeah.
Also,
yeah.
Another thing that I found, like, a bit realistic, it's her dating Alfie. Because, like, you know, when you're here and you're a foreigner, high chances you gravitate towards the people.
The foreigners.
To the foreigners. Like, a lot of times you'll be dating the foreigner because,
friends.
Yeah. I feel like that's very also realistic.
True.
Like, of course, it won't be the high class, you know, like Alfie, you know, some cute guy, like, you know, this posh job. Yeah, but being a foreigner, that part is very, very realistic, yes.
It depends, too, on how you look and how you present yourself. Because I know many foreign girls who've come to Paris, you know, they just act like, when I say upper class, but, you know, it's in quotes. They just act upper class and they attract those kind of men. You know, the men who will take you out, who will take you to those fancy places.
That doesn't happen. I'm just saying, like, it's easier, you know, it's easier
to relate
to foreigners. And most of the time you gravitate towards, you know, people you understand, you know.
Also, this is season 3. Remember in season 1, she did date like 2-3 dude, French dudes.
Oh,
yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, and also like very upper class, high class. The dude who took her to Saint-Tropez.
Yeah.
That was season 2. And I think season 1, she was that weird dude who...
Which one? I can't remember.
No, who took her to some party. Then he realized he had a girlfriend or something. Uh-huh. But she did date French guys at the first 2 seasons. Yeah. It's only season 3. No. End of season 2.
2.
Season 3, she was with Alfie.
Okay, speaking of dating, how do we feel about the stereotypes displayed in Paris? Let me give background. I was in Belgium the other day and somebody was asking me, so is it true what people say about, like, French people? They don't stay in their marriages. They don't date people for too long. They're all cheaters. Somebody asked me that. I didn't know what to answer. So do we feel like, how is dating in France compared to what is displayed in the media?
I'll just say French people are realistic.
Yeah.
They're just realistic. It's not about cheating. It's about, like, your needs.
Okay.
And I feel like sometimes you could be with somebody in your marriage for a long time and you get attracted to somebody else, but they're open to having conversations with each other within the marriage.
Oh, yeah.
And be like, oh, I like this other person. Could we feel like... So they're not really close-minded. That's the difference.
They're very open-minded.
They're very open-minded. So it's not about cheating. It's about being... realistic about, because even when you watch European films, they don't have the whole Hollywood scenario, and so they lived happily ever after and they ran off into
the sunset. It's not a fairy tale.
It's life, c'est la vie.
Yeah.
And that's what I love.
Yeah, and that's, I agree with her. It's like, these people, they're very open. And it's like me, you know, I don't believe in the idea of, like, monogamy. Like, a lot of, like, Europeans, and not just French people, but, like, a lot of Europeans, they're the same way. It's like they open up their marriages.
Okay.
Like, you'd even be in an app. Like, there's a time I joined, like, Tinder.
Yeah.
And I just didn't put male. I put male and female.
Yeah.
And you'd find actual couples, like, married.
Yeah,
and
they're,
like,
looking,
you know,
for...
Just, yeah, an extra partner.
Yeah.
To just, like, spice up our relationship and everything. So I don't feel like they really cheat. I just feel like they open up their mind.
They're liberal.
Yeah, they're very,
like,
liberal,
anything goes. Let's talk about it, me and you, if we agree.
You know, that's the thing. Like, if you discuss, you know, if you hold, like, a discussion,
with your partner.
Yeah, it's okay, because it's all about, like, communication. You communicate your needs, I communicate my needs, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying monogamy doesn't work. It's just, it doesn't work for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
It's not for everyone. Yeah. That's the thing, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, statistically speaking, almost all, half of all the marriages, half of all the married people, either in their second or third or whatever marriage.
That's true,
like, it's really hard
true.
To find people who've been together, like, for, like, forever.
Yeah.
Those are
yeah.
mostly old people,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
60s, 70s, 80s.
That's
from
true.
50s downwards, like, it's either their second, third, or whatever
yeah.
marriage. So.
Or they're just single with, no, not single, but they're dating.
Yeah.
You'll meet a 6 year old, like, oh, this is my boyfriend, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's
and
normal.
The thing is, and also the thing is, like, even when they're separated, like, they're so friendly, which they're so cordial,
yeah!
they're so friendly. Like, I babysit for a family, and, like, the mom... And the ex, yeah,
they're friends.
They're so friendly.
Yeah, they meet,
they
go
live
out.
Right next to each other. So,
yeah.
you know, my ex lives right down the road.
Yeah, it's not like
so
in
it's
Kenya.
Just like in the show.
Yeah, it's exactly,
yeah, it's
how
exactly
the
like
show.
In the show.
Yeah,
with what's her name?
Sylvie and the ex.
Yeah.
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 exactly like
that. I feel like Sylvie's storyline shows a whole, like, how the complexity of, not, it's not really complex, but like, it shows how diverse relationships can be. Because Sylvie has a husband,
mm-hmm.
but they're not really divorced.
Yeah.
But they're not really together.
Yeah.
They see each other when they want to, but yeah. Sylvie is still
seeing
other men, and it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And these men are still meeting with Sylvie's boyfriend, which became a problem in season 3.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, the thing happens. Is, they know, like, it's not like she hides,
she's secret,
married.
Yeah,
yeah, she doesn't hide, she's married, so.
But you know, the thing I came to realize about French people is that because I think it's a secular nation, and
yeah.
a lot of things are not guided by religion,
exactly.
a lot of things are very normal for them. So, like, for us, like, growing up religious, like, oh, you save yourself up for marriage, and marriage is, like, the ultimate goal for your life or whatever.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't work out, you're so down and trodden, you're so sad, nini. But, like,
oh, yeah.
French people, it's like, I got married, it didn't work out sour, we move on to the next thing. It's not like my whole life depended on this one thing and my whole personality. And to French people, when you relay, like, oh, you having a boyfriend or a girlfriend at this age is not normal, they're like,
yeah.
no, this is normal life.
C'est normal.
So everybody else around the world is one who's not normal.
Yeah.
Only the French people are kind of normal.
But
do you realize that why most of the people, you know, have girlfriends and boyfriends towards those ages is because marriage is so expensive, is so expensive.
Mm.
And once they divorce, they never want to go back to the same situation, because divorce is really, really expensive and very tedious, and it takes years.
Emotionally taxing.
Emotionally
yes.
taxing, financially
yeah.
tasking.
Mm.
And that's why you find most of the divorced people, they just find other partners, they cohabit, they
yeah.
do this, or it's called per se. It's kind of like a legal recognition of people living together without really
being married.
Yeah.
Now let me teach you guys. This is my moment to just raise awareness.
Uh-huh.
Something called alternative dispute resolution.
What's that?
Yes.
Yeah, is that law?
Yeah.
It's law,
mm.
but like, you know, it saves time. When he was saying, you know, divorce is expensive, it's time consuming, it takes too much time.
Yeah.
It's my moment to raise awareness. Yes, you can go the ADR way. You'll be divorced in, like, you know, a month.
So what's ADR exactly?
Alternative dispute resolution.
Mm.
It's like
arbitration,
settlement outside of court. It's
oh.
like when you don't go through the court way. So this was a way to make, because you know, court processes, they're tedious,
mm.
they're time consuming, they're
expensive,
because it's really, really expensive, and a lot of times, you know, cases keep getting
yeah.
adjourned all the time, and you know, it's postponed every time. So with like ADR, it makes things like so easy. So
oh.
and a lot of people actually don't know about ADR. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people don't know that you can just not go to court.
Oh, yeah.
So
I didn't even
yeah.
know about it.
Do
nice
you go
case
to like
I...
a law firm and ask for an
I
ADR
practice
situation?
Actually.
What?
Do you go to like a law firm and ask for ADR, or how do you access it?
Yeah.
No. You don't even go to. You don't have to go to. Or sometimes it can happen in court, because sometimes, and the way it happens, because the constitution made it like a formal way. So the thing is, sometimes you go to court, and the judge would be like, you know, this, please take it to. Like, this is something that you guys can solve internally. So just go the ADR way. So the thing is, you don't have to go to court.
No,
for
but
this.
The question is
how you can access ADR. Well, you can go to maybe like a law firm.
Okay.
Yeah, to like a law firm. They'll probably have like people who do like alternative dispute resolution.
Mm.
Plus, it depends on what case you're handling. If it's a matter of, for example, what you're talking about, marriage,
mm-hmm.
you can, they're like marriage counselors or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is it called? For example, I know it in construction, there's
mm-hmm.
like... a construction body, yeah, so like the marriage body and
mm-hmm.
all that. So now you say that we have a conflict and we don't want to go through the court process,
mm-hmm.
so this is our situation, and they give you either an arbitrator, mediator, what is it?
But yeah, it makes things like divorce like really, really easy. So you don't have to stay with someone
yeah.
just because you think court will be expensive
mm-hmm.
or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes things.
I feel like that should
Impressive.
Be like on billboards, because people don't
yeah,
know that.
Yeah,
yeah,
and there's even like a study that was done to like see how aware people are of ADR, and it was like the number of people who are aware of it was like a very
yes.
small number.
Because
mm.
an arbitrator will just
Legally.
Come in
yeah.
and then hear both sides of the story,
yeah,
and then you know decide on
yeah, and also they take your. You know, they take
Science.
Your opinions into consideration.
Yeah.
Like, I could be married to you and I tell you, oh, that's Kaifan, you're heavy. Now that's Kaifan, you're heavy. And they take both your opinions into consideration. They
mm-hmm.
just, it's not a win or a lose situation
yeah.
where it's like, yeah.
both of you win in one or another.
Oh, we deviated. Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. So back to Emily in Paris. Emily in Paris. Ah, yeah. So what do you guys think are the main... I mean, there's like a million things that are falsely portrayed in Emily in Paris. Things that we see in Emily in Paris, but on the ground we know for sure that's not possible in Paris. That is not real.
It's very simple for me. I am a fashionado.
Ooh.
Yeah. So first of all, the amount of money Emily's earning on her salary, she cannot be affording a Chanel bag every episode.
Oh yeah.
Which is impossible. Like, I understand like the idea of like what's it called? Fashion curator within a show is to create the idea of like, you know, elegance, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But when you watch like Sex and the City,
yeah,
they were all professionals, they were all working within a certain job, and you could see sometimes even when Carrie Bradshaw wanted to buy something, she had to save for it.
Yeah.
Emily
never saves.
Hey, bruh, Emily, I'm like, girl,
she's spending.
The other day, like in episode, like I don't know what episode, she told Gabrielle, you owe me 26 euros for the cab. I'm like, yeah, but you can buy $1,000 Chanel bag.
And you want 26 euros for a cab.
Also, yeah. Another thing. It's still they're always dressed up.
Yeah.
Like, no. I'm gonna say that. No, but for Sylvie, yes, it is possible.
Okay, Sylvie, it's possible. It's possible. But like, even her friend who's always basking.
Mindy,
yes. Yeah, Mindy, she's always Mindy, basking. Wongo. And she's Wongo. Dressed up like... You know, people dress
she does
up.
Not even pay rent.
Exactly. Yeah. Pay
she barely earns any money.
Yeah.
But she's there wearing the latest Mugler.
Exactly.
She's wearing Schiaparelli. She's only when she started dating like the rich boyfriend.
Nicola.
Because then
and that's like of, the last few episodes.
Yeah, that was like, yeah, for sure. And also like her style elevated to be more classy, but you could see it was expensive brands. I also love that they put a lot of Schiaparelli in the season, so that's really nice, yeah.
Mm.
But for Sylvie, yes, for people in the agency, yes.
Yeah.
But for, and also for the Camille, yes. Though Camille, I feel like, so, like her style, like the, for Camille being French, and they always put in like very short stuff, French women don't
They don't
like
wear
that.
Short stuff.
They barely dress short stuff.
They don't show
like
skin.
Very like, it's very classy, very conservative, but you can tell it's expensive.
Yeah.
And I think they pushed her to the limit in a way that I'm like, French women wouldn't dress like that.
Yeah.
Even if you're young and you're amazing like Camille, but no.
Yeah.
And now with Emily wearing that Thierry Mugler, wearing I don't know.
And then heels all the time. Ah, like, that's people a lie. Here love, one thing I've noticed is people love their sneakers.
They do.
Oh my God, people love their sneakers. Yeah. It's like you go everywhere, sneakers, it's like a sneaker market.
Because they walk a lot.
That's true. Okay, Calvin.
Okay, yeah. The thing is, I've really never watched Emily in Paris, but I can tell you one thing about dressing. The French love dressing expensive stuff. Like, you will rarely find a French person wearing something that is not a MAC.
When a designer, a brand. Designer.
Yeah, a brand.
Big brand.
Uh-huh. Like, I can tell you, like, there are some people who are really jobless, but they wear Adidas,
they wear
Nike, they wear...
That's true.
And you
but
know,
that's basic MACs. That's not an expensive MAC.
Yeah, no. But I'm
Adidas
like...
for, like, 60 euros.
Yeah. But it's still a brand.
Let me tell you something. You see, we're in this episode for people, let's say, Kenyans, okay?
Yeah.
So, okay. I mean, if the target audience is someone in Kenya somewhere thinking that this is how it goes, not how many people will buy a 60 euro, like, Adidas all the time or Nikes. Maybe that's what he's trying to say. That's it.
And okay, also, that's what I'm trying to say. Now, I never watched the Emily in Paris. I don't know what brands they wear. But just to tell you that the French would rather wear nice clothes, look elegant,
and be homeless.
And starve and be homeless.
I know the thing is, it's not even about the brand and anything. When I talk about dressing up, I mean, you know, it's like, yes, they'll be dressed in like expensive stuff, but like Val said, it's very conservative. Like, yes, it's expensive, but it's just like it's toned down, you know.
Okay.
So it's not you should actually if you'd watched it,
it's very colorful.
It's very colorful and flashy.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, very flashy.
You know the prime colours of the French navy blue, black,
grey.
No, for the French very toned down colours.
Yeah.
So they'll wear like a beautiful Chanel jacket, but it's not screaming Chanel.
Yeah.
It's not screaming Balenciaga.
It's very subtle.
It's very subtle, but it costs like 5,000 euros, you know?
Okay, yeah.
So when I say they don't really dress like...
jeans.
No, she never wears a jeans.
Okay, that's a lie.
Yeah, so I'm saying that was very unrealistic for me.
You guys, one thing, when I came to Paris, I thought, as is shown in Emily in Paris, the Eiffel Tower is everywhere. Every scene you see the Eiffel in the background. Me, when I came to France, I thought I would come out of the airport. You don't always see it. So, in fact, I saw a tweet yesterday, apparently. They plant the Eiffel Tower everywhere. In fact, there was a scene when they went to the movie, the cinema. People have found out that in that cinema, there's no way you can see.
It's not there.
They keep planting it. Because if you're a foreigner, if you come to Paris, you expect to see it. It's not everywhere.
Yeah, it's not everywhere.
So they force the
angles.
And
it's not even about everywhere. It's in such few arrondissements. Yeah. Because even if you're like in the 15th, you only see the tip.
Yeah.
You don't see the whole thing. You have to be in very specific places to
see it. Yeah.
Like even from here, you just see the light.
You see the light. You see the light. That's a big lie.
It's a big lie.
Yeah.
But one thing for sure, one thing I enjoy when I watch Emily in Paris as somebody who has stayed in Paris kidogo is the fact that I get to see places that I know.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, I know that place. Yeah. I've been there. I'm at Marc de Champs-Élysées. I was just there.
It doesn't look like that.
Plus, I feel like, okay, for the movie, I understand they had to depopulate it. It's so empty when they go there. But normally, that McDo is full.
It's full, yeah.
Because it's McDo
and also, it doesn't look like that. It looks like a Mac. You know, that one looks like a
luxury.
It looks like a boulangerie. I don't know what.
Yeah.
Because I've been to that McDo, I know.
Yeah,
and
it doesn't look like that.
It's always
the beans are always full.
Oh, yeah. That's
the three beans. You can never find a seat. That's all.
Yeah, also, you wait in line for long.
That scene when he went to pick up Alfie at Gardino. When does Gardino look that?
And they went to Gardino.
Yeah, he went to Gardino to pick up Alfie.
When he came back from
Britain. From London.
Yeah.
Gardino is official.
He was looking so clean.
He was looking
so basically. What? Everything in Emily in Paris looks so much cleaner than what it looks like on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, not Paris doesn't even look like that. There's so much trash.
Even on a... Like, I don't know if Gardino has ever looked like that.
We find that cleaning for PR.
To give to the listeners an impression of Gardino, I once had a friend was coming from Brussels to Gardino.
Mm.
Once they got off from the trains, they called me and were like, are you sure, like, it was stopping in the right place? Like, I am not sure if I'm in France or not. That's how that you know.
Like,
people selling cigarettes.
Yeah, you're on a railway.
That's true.
Oh my god, it's so true.
And that's what I'm talking about, Emily. It was looking like, I don't even know.
First of all, the smell of pee and horrible.
C'est horrible.
I was actually surprised they took, you know, and I saw that scene, I was like, wow, okay. Because, you know, they've been doing it, it's just like the posh ironisma, like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Then I saw it, and, you know, I was like, okay, so come on, you guys can come to downtown.
And that's one thing I've learned about France. Like, I feel before you come to France, you have this perfect image. Everything is sparkling clean. Then you come to France, there's some zones that you go to and you're like, am I really in France? If I took a picture here and I posted, no one would know I'm in France.
I swear. River Road.
Colange Street.
Colange Street, you go uptown, guys.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Okay, but let me tell you something about France that most of the countries don't do.
Mm-hmm.
France really markets their image and their nini.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you see they have no Ministry of Tourism.
Oh.
Theirs is called culture and something. So they tell you about the French culture, like when they tell you about visit Bordeaux, they tell you there's wonderful wine. In Toulouse, you'll find lavenders. You know, that's how they sell their nini.
Yeah.
And that's why every region has their own food, their own culture, their own something. Like, you go to Bretagne, you eat wonderful crepes and whatever.
Yeah.
That's how they package themselves. So everything you see in the films and everything, you just
you know, they sell you an image. They
a false image.
So basically, Emily in Paris is an advertisement. It's marketing.
No, yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is marketing. Yeah.
But you respect it as an advertisement.
Il existe une maladie. Ça s'appelle le syndrome de Paris.
You know, yeah.
Le japonais, ouais.
I heard about it.
So the Paris syndrome. A lot of Japanese tourists.
Yeah.
They come to France.
Yeah.
And you know they have such a beautiful image of what's of the expectation.
Yeah.
And you know the Japanese people, they are very orderly. Where they come from, they respect their rules. People queue for the trains and everything. Yeah. And it's a very clean city. And when they come here, and they're shocked.
They even become junkies.
There's that everywhere. People are not respecting the light. They get a shock that they have a, you know,
a break or something.
Yeah. They have to go to the doctor to seek some therapy. They're like,
It messes up with their mental.
So they become dizzy. They start vomiting and all of that. I'm just like
right now, like, you know, when I was young, I was just like, oh, Paris.
I wanted to go to Paris. So bad.
Then I got here and the Eiffel Tower, so underwhelming.
Very underwhelming.
So underwhelming.
Okay, but
and it is always under construction.
Toujours.
You know, let me tell you something. I saw the Eiffel Tower last week. Uh-huh. That was my first time seeing the Eiffel Tower last week, guys.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. During the day, niliona niko like kuna ingine man.
Is this the main one?
That's true.
Is this the main one?
So that's true. Kuna ingine man. I mean, it's only beautiful at night.
Only at night,
even with the light and the sparkling sour. But during the day, you're like,
it's just a metal pile of metal. Yeah.
Chuma, those things, the steamers are Kenya, is
it? It's
really
Okay, but honestly, it's an architecture, you know.
Maybe it's a history. I don't think when you look,
it's a history.
That time when they created it was like, wow, there's nothing like this.
Exactly.
But when you look at it, to be honest,
yes, but even if you go to Egypt and you see the pyramid, it's just a stone. No, the pyramids are an architectural wonder.
No. And I've been to Egypt. That shit is amazing.
It's the same way you associate, you see that architectural importance to it is the same way the French people.
No, the Eiffel Tower was associated with the Eiffel. Architectural marvel in what it can do just because of how it stands and it's pure metal and can resist all kinds of elements of weather and again it's next to the Seine and just but it is not really it is not pretty it is not exciting
it doesn't have a wow factor
it does not exactly it does not
equal to
but let us agree to disagree
okay
I think when I first saw it I was very pleased
I was wowed
and then I was seeing it and it was written the name of scientists Sidiki Nalokosh blah blah blah. Was you know a bit mesmerized but the novelty dies after a few days
Two hours?
Let me tell you, the one thing is that anytime a friend of mine comes over to like Paris and they're like, Tunde Eiffel Tower, I'm like, not me. I'm a director, I'll show you where to go. I'm not doing that shit again.
Again.
Every single time, Tunde Eiffel no.
But it is your duty.
It has what?
No. It is your duty as a Parisian. You have a visitor from any part of the country.
I mean, if it's
from Kenya, from Brussels, and they come and you are the one who's, you know, in charge of taking them around.
That's true.
You should show them.
I have your number. I will send them to you.
I'm telling you.
I have your number. I'll send them to you.
I don't even tell people I live in Paris anymore. Because I'm like, once you live in Paris,
everyone's like, I live in Eiffel Tower.
Eiffel Tower.
Nonsense.
Because last year, that was me. You don't even tell me to the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, I know about that.
So anyone will call me randomly like, oh, I have a friend coming. Random. I have a friend coming in Paris. Please show him around.
Because all language assistants. What's the real one in Paris?
So now they simple ask, and I was like, oh, I look at the text, I'm like, good.
I know, so I'm like,
but it wasn't
the Eiffel Tower is not near. it's not near a lot of places. Yeah, unless you live like near, where it's near.
Yeah.
It is very like it's kind of long to go to the Eiffel Tower. Every place you need to connect.
Yeah.
And it's even kind of and far. Even when you get out of the metro, there's no metro that's just like right there.
Yeah, you can have to walk like 12 minutes
and
to walk.
And I was like, can't do that anymore.
It's not worth it for me.
And now I'm like, Val, you know, you're coming to Paris, I'll give you the directions. I'll tell you what metro, right to the last minute, what metro to take, what exit, everything. I'll tell you.
No, I feel like
you guys are not good friends.
No, we are.
Imagine, I get what both of you are saying. But like, I think what they're saying is after taking so many people there, it becomes so.
No, me even after the first time. I can't
be taking everyone.
Exactly.
But also, I feel like there's so many nice things about Paris, and the Eiffel Tower is the least of them.
Wow, that is so true.
That's true.
That is so there's so many things. I take you to like a patisserie, take you to a what's it called, a park. There's so many
Nice things. Oh, yeah, an exposition.
Yeah, exposition.
Today, I don't know which country you've not been to. Let's say I'm just giving you a random country. You went to London, and you had a friend there who was hosting you. You'd be like, you know, I want to see the Big Ben. I want to see the Buckingham Palace.
Actually, after leaving,
if you're leaving there, it doesn't feel like something great.
After living in Paris, I came to realize if somebody lives in whatever town, I tell them, take me to where you think it's nice. I won't go to the architectural places. I'm like, where, you know, when you go 10 things to do in Paris, I will not trust
the same list.
I will not trust that shit. So if you tell me the Big Ben is over here, I'm like, fine, let's go to a local pub, let's go somewhere else. There's so many nice things in Paris.
There's a pub everywhere,
a niche spot where not everyone
There's a pub everywhere, but not, there's some pubs like when you go to New York, there's this I'm trying to remember the name of the pub. I can't remember exactly, but there's like something very unique about that pub. I'm trying to remember the name. So it's not just a pub, and you can have that in every city. Like, it's not just a pub.
I agree with you that there's, you know, there's obviously things are overrated in every place. There's, if you see the top 10 things, of course it's overrated everything. But I think most of the time when I go to a new place, that's like one of the first thing I'd want to do. It will take me half a day, maximum a day, to finish all that. And the next day we can do all the things that, you know, you think would be
better,
would
than,
be a better
so that they can decide now between the two which one would you prefer. I feel like I understand what you're saying. I feel like me and Val are just speaking from a point of living here for so long and showing people so many times, and it's just become so
I think
annoying.
That's the issue, because you've taken people so many but times.
But I understand.
The same place
I understand
to do the same shit.
Exactly. But I understand for someone who's visiting. Because, of course, if I was visiting it for the first time, I'd also want to see the Eiffel Tower as the first thing.
Over time, I've realized that people go to these places, this Arc de Triomphe, Eiffel Tower, not just because they're big things, it's just like ticking an item off a bucket list. I've gone to the picture, I was there. It's not like it has so much meaning. There's so many things you can do in Paris and have a huge memorable experience aside from these things.
And also, like, on that, like, what are some of the things, like, as you living in Paris, some of the places you'd recommend that are not in the show? Because in Paris, that just shows Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, you know. So what are some of the things?
First of all, can we go to the Moulin Rouge and do like a watch the show? That's really, that's, it's worth your money. It's quite expensive, like 110 euros.
Yeah,
but it's worth your money. It really is. And then just a walking. Okay, she's gone to Montmartre already. Deja,
she's gone to Montmartre.
The High Line. You know the High Line where they see the love wall.
The Wall of Love.
The Wall of Love. Like the whole thing starts from Bastille all the way till like, I think the 12th arrondissement in the end. Not that that matters to anybody, but if you walk on it, it's very beautiful. You see Paris from an elevated standpoint.
Yeah.
And then Black Culture, because like, I think I really loved when Alfie was introduced to the show. And the first place he took her was like a by Saint-Denis, Strasbourg Saint-Denis.
Oh.
And like, it's a very like, very rough kind of neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it's like really where the bar culture in Paris
is. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, it's not like the Champs-Élysées type where you pay I don't know how much to enter the club. And that's why everybody, and also when Gabrielle was getting drunk on the canal, that's what every fucking Parisian does. You see that, you're like, what's the plan to kutane kwa canal? Hapo ndio mnanzanga nini? Inaitwa ni pregame.
Pregame.
Mnakutana kwa canal, mnakunywa hizo boti zenyu za hizo mawaini nini nini. And then at like 1 AM you're like, can we go to like a bar at Strasbourg Saint-Denis? And then you just leave it up and then go home. So I feel like it was more real in that aspect. But like, this is Ignatius. Let me tell you, any Parisian, who's going to Champs-Élysées, a real Parisian? Either you work there,
yeah,
or you're trying to con some tourists. Yeah. You're not going as a Parisian. What are you doing, yeah, in Champs-Élysées? What are you,
yeah,
doing there?
Yeah.
It's not a thing.
Also, there's so many, honestly, Paris has a lot of culture.
And even when, yeah, and even when, so I think it's season one, when that guy, then the, he's the co-worker of Emily, the really tall one, the awkward
look,
one.
Look. I like him.
Best character.
He's like the best character. Also, I mean, like, the best him and Sylvia, he's like the good
most
character.
Real, actually, he's the realest character.
Most realistic.
Always wears like the blue, the navy blue suit.
Exactly.
Lots of Parisians wear all the time. Using a bicycle to work.
Yeah, most very Parisian.
Uh-huh. And then he's like, when you took off for lunch at the Paris, or whatever, also that's, it's kind of illegal, you're not supposed to eat at the cemetery, but
oh, yeah,
it's really cool to go to such places, and I think they could have explored more, yeah, those angles and not this touristic shit that everybody does.
Yeah, where... I actually went for a date at the cemetery in La Défense.
Oh, you see, I've never, oh, been to the cemetery.
You went for a date at the cemetery?
Well, it was more like
it's
a day,
cool.
And then we actually went, it was actually so nice because we just walked in the cemetery and just
it's
like
a,
looked at
do
you
feel
no,
like
no. French people for make everything art. The cemetery,
yeah,
is very beautiful.
It's very beautiful.
All the like the places
very
where they've
beautiful.
All been buried, they've all made them into like this crazy,
yeah,
works of art. So
it's
to see it in,
yeah, it's actually
it's
really
very
you should visit.
It's
very beautiful.
It's very nice.
It's very,
yeah,
beautiful.
I love when I say mangatu to come up on a chocolate ama croissants.
Yeah.
And those are like so basic.
Yeah.
There's so many other patisseries to discover and so many like other little treats you can discover, you know?
Yeah.
That's really...
Oh, also about food, like...
Kebab.
Yeah, like these things. There's such
tacos.
A big part. Yeah, there's such,
oh,
a big,
yeah,
part of
French
the...
French culture.
Yeah,
yeah. Also,
kebab,
I think that...
Everything, and we
sandwich.
Even, yeah, we didn't even see them.
Okay, okay.
That,
to Kisema,
yeah.
I think that Emily in Paris...
Emily's
food.
Emily's bougie.
Emily in Paris was made in a certain category.
Loco class ingine.
The manner, Emily, when you... Actually, one thing I think like people don't see through the show is that Paris is super multicultural.
Ooh,
there's,
oh,
there's so
my
many
God.
Black people, Arab people, Chinese people.
Do you
know
how many black people there in Emily Paris? You can count the Luke's colleague Alfie. Is that black woman? The transgender, the one who's fashiony, those are the only three black people. And Paris, I think it's a statistic that in Europe, probably even around the world, across the world,
mm-hmm,
Paris is the one part of the world where you get the most black people,
that's
like a big
true.
City.
And not just black,
it's
but like,
so
all the, like,
immigrants,
you,
people of color.
I teach English, and
yeah,
like, when I talk to my students, most of them are not even French.
They're not.
Though,
they're not
when
French.
When they're walking, you might think they're French. They're like, oh, I'm Italian.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom is Afghan. I'm
yeah.
half Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Half
yeah.
French.
Oh yeah.
Oh, Sidri, I'm what? But they look French, yeah.
Yeah.
And the idea of what you think a French person looks like.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are not in, like within Paris are not really French.
Yeah.
And so they don't explore that in the series, which is okay. I feel like. Come and say target audience in uni.
Mutuanishi
6 that only small. And I had to make cabs and then any. At a hangout in the place where only white people
yeah.
are.
Oh, yeah.
And
only
nini.
French.
Yes, so I feel like as a show, you can't tackle all the issues. It's
that's,
okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
I respect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need to maja, I think. Yeah. Akuna, so,
I know you, as a show, you can't tackle everything, but you should at least try.
To represent
yeah.
it better.
Try, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
you're
giving people...
Have you written a show?
I don't
write
care.
A show and then you know.
I don't care.
No, this is okay. You write a show.
No,
you write a show.
Try.
I know.
I think
what you're trying to do is you're trying to tell me how Paris is like. So what you're giving me is just high expectation. Not telling me, hey, by the way, expect
just
this.
Come to Paris
check
as an expert. That's what
and
you need
you
to
realize.
Do. Come to Paris.
Yeah. Alafu, the way you were saying, who was telling me, who are we talking with? Akisema Banye, season 3 is better than the rest.
Mm.
How? No. I agree with that.
Because now it's a bit, they've tackled more issues on the ground than the
what
other
issues.
I feel like they
issues,
just took feedback from the public.
What
yeah,
they should, yeah, like,
my point
no,
being,
okay.
My point being, maybe it's just getting better.
Wait, what
yeah.
issue?
No, issue number one, they speak more French now. I love
oh,
when they
yeah.
speak more French.
Because it's wrong to assume and to show the world that people in Paris just,
like you
not,
can just
speak
yeah.
English.
Yeah.
People don't speak English generally.
The biggest
here.
Lie that... Paris is a metropolitan, so you can get by without not speaking French.
Oh, no.
Which is fine. But French people only speak French when it's completely a must.
Yeah.
Not French people, Parisians.
Yeah.
When it's and that's usually during the workplace.
When they speak English, you mean English,
English.
Right?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
yeah.
Sorry, speak English during the workplace. If it's not workplace, my name was... Nobody is speaking
with, yeah.
English.
Yeah. Speaking
nobody.
Of which,
yeah.
All these colleagues over here, Kina Emily, wakutana happy hour, akuna utanonge English.
That's,
yeah.
that's for sure.
That's a lie.
All of them are speaking completely French.
That's a
so,
lie.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I would, even not, it's not really part of Emily in Paris, but it could be. But one big thing about Paris outside the rep, how people talk about Paris outside there, they say that people in Paris are rude. Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? People say that Parisians are rude. When you say Parisians, oh, they're so rude.
I think
so
they're rude towards English people.
Mm-hmm.
Or like if you're sure that you speak English.
Yeah.
The moment you start speaking French, it's fine. But the moment you go like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, tu peux français.
But I feel like...
They're Magada. But I think it's the security of them.
I don't think French people are rude. I feel like they're very frank. They're just so frank.
They're direct.
Yeah, they're just direct. Yeah, I don't think they're rude. Because I haven't met any rude person,
you know,
but they're
saying?
Just very, very direct. It's like if they don't like it, they just don't like it. If they don't want to talk, they just don't want to.
Yeah, because people ask me, do you think French people are rude? I'm like, I really can't say that because I've never met. I've met so many nice people, like they're the nicest people in the world. But when it comes to foreigners, I feel like they get very uncomfortable when you force them to speak
to
a language that is
English,
not theirs.
Yeah.
So they get so like they go so abrasive, but like that's why people usually say that they like it when you make an effort to speak French.
Yeah.
When you go to, especially like how. Foreigners, when they go to a boulangerie in Paris, they don't even say bonjour. Because you know in French, la politesse, in France.
It's huge.
So you have to be like, bonjour. You can't just talk to somebody at the end. You can't put a lighter.
Yeah.
You have to be merci, have to be very polite in the language. Say merci, au revoir.
Yeah.
And foreigners don't do that. So they can come off as aggressive and...
Yeah.
But they're not true.
I saw in Tara the way there's a day I went to like a mall and I went to a shop and I just went around window shop and then left. And as I was leaving, I was gonna go, you know?
Yeah.
And the lady was like, merci à voir. Like, merci à voir.
She was reminding you,
merci à voir.
You can't just come into my shop and walk away.
And walk out.
One day I forgot to tell someone when I was living at Coos and I forgot to tell my, because my landlord was just standing right outside there and I was getting to the building. And he was talking to people, and I was just like, you know, it's because I don't want to interrupt you guys. Because it looked like it was such a deep conversation. So I was just getting into the building, and then I'm there walking, and then he just stands and he looks at me like bonjour, so aggressively, like, bonjour.
I'm
like, oh, sorry, bonjour. Like I didn't want to be. I'm not trying to be impolite or anything.
Yeah.
Just, but they're so big on their bonjours and like au revoir, and it's like, you know, not rude at all. I don't think they're rude.
Okay, then for the last thing, which is a very big thing in France.
Mm-hmm.
Something before we go to last thing. I just want to say something, one thing.
Because
That's like my biggest problem with France.
Yeah.
Is the whole kunuka. Honestly, that's true. The whole thing about them not showering 40% of the time. That's
we feel like it's true.
No, 40% of French people don't shower. That's facts. I think that's so true. Because, I mean, when I'm in the tram and I'm in the metro and whatever, I always stand next to someone and I'm just like, nigga, you haven't showered.
For real?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what
I think it's...
Oh, sorry.
I think it's the combination of coffee and cigarettes.
You think so?
That's true, though. That's the smell of coffee and cigarettes.
If you combine
coffee
and cigarettes for a long time, there's
smells?
A particular kind of, I don't know...
Smell?
Odor, smell that it gives out. So maybe there's also that.
And also, when you say 40% of French don't shower, please be specific.
Specific on what?
On what exactly? Are you French?
Are you French?
But it's. Let me tell you why I'm also sure about it because I talked to someone. Hey.
They told me they don't shower.
And they told me they don't shower every day.
No, but I agree with you because even I used to babysit with a family and like their kid would shower like twice a week.
They don't shower every day.
Twice
a week.
That's bad.
It's not necessary to shower every day. Why are you wasting water and electricity?
Jesus.
Are you not energy saving? Are you not
SDG? For them it was no, because I feel like they feel like there's no dust on the ground.
That's true.
So you go to school, you come back to work, you take the metro,
you're
not.
But you're sweating,
come on.
No, but if you don't sweat that much, then they're just like savoir.
Especially during winter. I mean you're not sweating, so your clothes are still.
Yeah.
You think that's
clean.
True.
Yeah.
So you can be paid.
It's very like
Okay.
Whatever, man. So, like, as I was saying, like, I feel like this is a huge, huge, huge part of the immigrant experience in France.
Mm-hmm.
The French administration.
Oh, Lord.
It's a headache. It's a galère.
Exactly.
Up to zero. And the thing about this is that in Emeline Paris, the way they portray the perfection of the French life, they never touch on that. Apart from in season 3 where they mentioned Tijuya visa problem, of which it was solved for her by her company.
It does. When you get a permanent contract, like a
Stable life. Yeah, which is true.
Which is true.
But like Emily herself didn't go through any administrative struggle. She lives a very smooth life.
She's American. Can we start there?
She's American and she has a job.
Yeah, exactly.
And her company, Mika said the first time, her company did a lot of the paperwork for her. So all she had to do was move to Paris. Yeah. That's all she had to do.
If somebody's watching Emily in Paris or somebody from anywhere else apart from America, you would think you wouldn't know that part of the French life.
If you're coming for a job, I think your company's gonna be for you. It's not gonna be a big
deal. Yeah.
But you know,
coming as a student.
Yeah, that part about Sylvie, you know, and Sylvie was like, oh my god, I have to do all this paperwork for you for your visa. That's also true because a lot of companies here actually don't like hiring foreigners because
they have to do the paperwork.
It's so much for them. So a lot of them are not usually willing to do, and that was actually they did it for like just a short part of the episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like they should have covered that a lot more. But yeah, that's true. A lot of companies are not usually willing to do that.
Again, still make it seem like Emily in Paris is this story for like she's not struggling.
She's not struggling.
They're not gonna do that.
Class,
the fact that she met, you know me, I think it was this season one, season two. She met that guy, and they went to Saint Tropez after like what? I was like, girl, what life are you living? You know?
Lives, my sister lives.
Yeah, so I feel like Emily lives a lot, and like these things happen to her suddenly. All of a sudden, she's met like when she met even Camille.
Yeah.
So random that she was an heiress to like a champagne house.
That's true.
It's dude, when are you walking down the rue or Nini and you meet like the heiress to a champagne
randomly
house? Like how happen. Even it does not.
Ooh, speaking of meeting people randomly, in Emily in Paris and generally in the media, it's portrayed that France has so many hot people. You just walk and you meet the love of your life. You meet a hot guy. You're in a dilemma either between this hot guy and this hot guy. Do you feel like that's how it is in France? Like men
I think it depends on who you're talking everywhere. To. I feel like it depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's very individual. Because I know the people who've been here and they've been on dates constantly. Or they're like very like amazing. People are like crazy rich or like they have that kind of life.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it depends on who you are. And like the experience you bring. But there are some people who definitely will live that life.
Yeah.
So I think that's very individual. I don't think you can have like
a general opinion about
like,
that.
No, it's not mainly because also again, based on the fashion and how people dress here, you can never. I think you can tell rich people from like maybe the shoe,
okay,
or like the jewelry they wear, but never through their clothing. Their clothing you can tell it's a good mark.
Yeah.
But the colors are all the same. They all kind of look the same. They all blended.
It doesn't shout.
Exactly. So in a depend too. It really just depends.
Interesting. Just to finish, are you Team Alfie or Team Gabrielle?
Gabrielle.
Oh, yeah, me too. I feel like I'm alone when I say Team Gabrielle. Everyone is Team Alfie.
I love Gabrielle.
Are you Team Gabrielle Alfie?
I think Team
Alfie. Why?
I just don't care for that French man. Oh, wow. I don't know. I feel like she has that, like, he's my first. He's my everything. He's just back in the back of her mind. And she always just goes back
there.
I'm Team Alfie because, honestly, contrary to popular opinion, men have great intuition. And I feel like he's had great intuition from the beginning. Like, he always knew, like, she was never really for him. And I think, like, she did blindside him with a lot of things where he thought, like, no, maybe she's really for me. And so I really love that he always stuck to his intuition. Oh, and like men have great intuition and men believe in your intuition. That shit is real.
It's real.
Yeah, so Alfie just because he's a black king and he's all about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's a black king. That gives him points.
Like black king and he knew his worth from the very beginning. So Team Alfie.
No, I feel like
I just support whoever is winning.
Gabrielle is winning.
I feel like I'm Team Gabrielle. At this point, it's evident that Gabrielle and Emily are gonna be endgame.
Obviously,
I feel like
for the sake of the show,
for the show,
it's an obvious choice.
Exactly, and I feel like I like Alfie. He's hot. He's nice. But I feel like Alfie and Emily don't really have chemistry. Like they're just there.
For the show, it's not obviously fiery. Gabrielle is gonna win.
Yeah,
obviously.
That's why I like them together when they went to the pop-up museum, the balloons, they were having so much fun. They look at each other. It feels
also,
so...
your pop-up museum, let me tell you, in the pop-up museum. it was exactly like that, but you see the way they were all like, they seem like they were like, you see the pool of balloons, they seem they were there for like hours, okay, you know, hours, but like a lot, bro, they were giving us max 15 minutes to be in that place.
Are you serious?
15 minutes, and because then it's like a thing, so you go like the first phase is that serious? One after that you go into the bubbles, after that you go into like the little selfie places where you take the pictures and the thing. But like, I want to find out, like, when I have so much fun.
Yeah, it looked so fun.
My day 15 minutes, look what my time is. I'm going to go to your pool. Okay, next. Because there's so many people who are coming
to everyone wants to go.
It was a very nice exposition.
Yeah. But I really wanted to go, but it already moved to Berlin. It's those things that move. So it's not there anymore. Yeah, it moved to Berlin.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
After Emily in Paris season 3, searches just went up.
People, people want to move to Paris. 15%. Wow. Which is funny because that's really not how Paris is.
Yeah, so
if
guys,
coming based on
as in,
that.
Yeah, Kuja too. No, but I feel like,
just come.
Because I feel like you will know the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like when we were telling people that we were going to Paris, we had like, okay, for me, I had people who would say like, oh, don't think, you know, everything is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I thank God I just came and realized that on my own and not just...
But that's the fact of life. I feel like when you tell somebody not to do something, they'll always want
to do it. Why?
Why are you telling me not to do it? If it was not nice for you, maybe it will be nice for me. Yeah, you just come.
No,
come,
I mean, you know, there are people I know who didn't come because they've been told about how...
Hey, those are nice people.
You come experience. It's good to have the experience.
It is, yeah.
Because there are good things about
it. Job perfect,
perfect you! And now I even feel like people now want to learn French.
Yeah,
you
learn French, you learn everything.
Go do it. It's not easy, but like if you...
I feel like if you really want to like... If you're really like serious about like French culture and maybe Paris is not the city. Other cities are really nice and you get really like that French culture without having to be in Paris.
Yeah.
Because Paris is just very city life and it's very like, ugh.
Oh, and I feel like that's, even in the movie, in Emily in Paris, I feel I was happy that they went to Aix-en-Provence this time.
Mm.
It was a very creative title, Aix-en-Provence, and everybody was going back to their exes and while they were in Aix-en-Provence.
Yeah.
I like that at least they went to the south because for most people...
But also they went to a chateau. Like how often
they still went to a chateau.
If you take like a train to Aix-en-Provence,
you
know,
you don't go to a chateau. Yeah.
Like you go visit it for a day.
Yeah.
Like maybe a day, like a little tour for like 2 hours, and then come out and then go stay at your Airbnb.
Like there's so much to see in France apart from just
Paris.
What people know normally at Paris. This
like France so much is so much see. Bigger than just Paris. But what thing I love about Paris is that for sure there's so many things to do in Paris. So many things to do.
Yeah.
Every day there's an event. Almost every other hour there's an event. So there's so much to do.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting city in that sense that you can never get bored.
As you said, like every day there's an event. I'm a very huge concert fan. Every big artist comes to perform in Paris. Like they just want to come to Paris. So, you know. Anyway, so there you have it. That's how people who stay in Paris feel about Emily in Paris. Thank you guys for coming to the podcast and airing your opinions. That was today's episode of Kenyan Francophile. See you on the next. Don't forget to subscribe, like, share with a friend who loves Emily in Paris and loves French culture. And for today, we say bye.
Au revoir!
Bisous!
Ciao, ciao!